Hello, thank you guys for tuning in. It's the third episode of Full Kit Wanker, and I'm really excited to be here. Starting to feel a little bit less like a rookie and a little bit more like a veteran, so hopefully you guys can feel the seasoned vet in this episode, and it's coming out better and better each time. On the third episode, we have a lot to talk about, starting with the Newcastle versus Arsenal game, where we unfortunately lost 2-1. Then we're going to get in a little bit about the Arsenal 4-1 victory over West Ham and what that really means, because the biggest shock of the century happened. Wenger is walking away after 20 years at Arsenal. I've talked about it on this podcast. I think it's time for a change. It's not just players. I think we need a change in philosophy at the club. I think we need a new person at the helm of the club and manager. And I really think that Wenger has done unreal things with the club. He's transformed the club. But he's had power that no other manager has had precedent before ever. He really gets to choose his own fate. If he was at any other top club, I think he would have been fired after a couple of results that we've had in recent years, let alone all the bad results we've had in the past, I would say 5, 6 years. But you can't take away from the man. I mean, he's one of the best managers to ever be in the Premier League. But I think his age is, he's not like a bottle of fine wine. I don't think age has done him well. And he kind of was tarnishing his reputation. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Newcastle Arsenal game, which was pre Wenger out. So it started off the game really hot and heavy. Lacazette was amongst the goals. I mean, I believe it was his 13th goal in the Premier League. 12th goal in the Premier League, I'm sorry. And honestly, I'm really, really excited for this signing. He had a good start to the year, kind of cooled off for a bit, and then we signed Aubameyang. Then Lacazette got hurt, and it really wasn't looking good for him. He was not scoring goals. He was hurt. We just signed a world-class forward, and while Lacazette's world-class, I think it's safe to say that Aubameyang's better. But I think he came back from the injury really strong. He got to clear his head. Aubameyang, I think it was really good friendly competition. I know that they actually get along really well off the field, and it just really raised Lacazette's game. I mean, this is like his third goal in the last like four games or something crazy like that. Maybe. I think that's about right. They're going the last four games, and all of a sudden it's 1-0. But the best thing about this goal was that there was a long ball hit to Aubameyang. Aubameyang could have shot it, but he teed it off and passed it to Lacazette, who scored the goal. And it really showed that they can form a partnership. It was the first time that they started together, but it wasn't the first time they'd both been on the field together. But I think it's different when you start the game together. You get to really feel out the game. When one of them gets subbed in and plays with them, they're kind of thrown into a game. And they have to acclimate very quickly. So being able to start the game together is a completely different feel. So super excited about that. They're able to start the game off, and Aubameyang got the beautiful assist to Lacazette, and it really looked good from there. Unfortunately, looks can sometimes be deceiving. Not so much on the front end, but on the back end, we made a terrible error. Edlin was allowed tons of space. Does a beautiful curling low ball to Perez, who has a beautiful first time soft touch to bring it in at the near post. Now the game is 1-1 in the 29th minute. It was a little bittersweet though, if I'm being honest, because now we are tied with Newcastle, a team who's sitting, mid-table around 10th, who I think we should beat. Yedlin, the American right back, got the assist, so you always got to get a little bit of patriotism for the Americans who are trying to play in Europe, and not just Europe, but in the English Premier League, the hardest league in the world. So really stoked for Yedlin to get that assist, and he was really having a good season. But off of that little Yedlin tangent, really poor defending from Monreal. He was really lost on the goal. I have no idea where he was on this goal. And unfortunately, this is not the first time in the game where this has happened. It's about to happen again, but we're not quite there yet. So fast forward to the 38th minute. There's a beautiful whipped-in ball by Mustafi, who happened to be, in the attacking third. He's our center back. I don't really know how he got up there. But he whips in a ball, a lot of pace on the ball, wide open, 6-yard box. Chambers just absolutely scuffs the chance. Looked like a center back out there, and he is a center back. And it was a really terrible, I would say, effort at the finish. Obviously, your center backs aren't known for scoring goals on the first time volley, but he was completely wide open. Any touch would have done the goods, and unfortunately, he didn't have the soft touch on the day. But something else I really want to talk about was really poor coming up in the 68th minute. Monreal was in the middle of the park, even though he was playing left back, has a terrible clearance with his head, heads it in back of him, and basically gives a through ball for Slomani, who then slips it into Richie all the way on the left side. But the reason he was able to slip him in so easily is because Monreal not only had a bad clearance, but was completely out of position. Richie gets the ball, slots it home, takes a beautiful first touch, does a half volley to the bottom left corner. We're down 1-2, 68th minute. But what's really annoying about this game is we started off really hot and heavy. We had a really good attacking play. We were missing Ramsey, Wilshire, and Ozil, who, you know, usually control the game and create chances. But we were creating chances. You know, we had 72% possession, created 15 shots, but only were able to convert 3 on target. But Lacazette, Welbeck, and Aubameyang were looking very good. But this really was a highlighted our poor defense. I have no idea why Bellerin didn't play. We didn't play Koscielny. We had Chambers all the way at right back, even though he's a center back. I mean, he's a terrible center back, so then to put him at right back, which is not his natural position, was a really odd decision for me from Wenger. And ultimately, I think that's really why we lost. We had a really... I think we were trying to maybe rest players. We had a lot of games in the last week, but ultimately, you got to put your best selection out there. And if you can't put your best, then put your second best in. And we had Martin Niles on the bench, who eventually got subbed in for Chambers because Chambers was underperforming. But Chambers is like our third or fourth string right back. He's mainly a center back. So if the second string right back is on the bench, I don't know why he's not playing. I understand he's 20 years old. He's super young. He's not experienced. This was going to be a tough game against a middle-of-the-park team who was hungry for, you know, a big win to kind of boost the manager's ego over there. And when you get a win against Arsenal, it's obviously great. But I think even though it was tough, I really don't understand how we weren't able to get the dub today. We ended up losing 2-1. And ultimately, that comes down to Wenger's poor selection at the back. So to recap, we lost 2-1. We had 72% possession. We're only able to get 3 shots on target, 1 on goal for the goal out of 15 shots, which is not a great conversion rate. And something the next game absolutely made up for. But before we get into the next game, we really need to discuss that Wenger midweek told the media that he was going to be leaving Arsenal, which we touched on a little bit in the beginning of this podcast. This is absolutely monumental. This man has made this club what it is today, and it really fired up the players for the game. You could tell they wanted to fight not only for the club, but for the manager, so that he could, you know, end the season on a high note, get some good results in the Premier League, and ultimately, you know, win the semi-final in the Europa League, and then go to the Champions League, win that, and bring Arsenal back to Champions League. And I think if we could do that, it'd really be a cherry on top for Wenger, and it would kind of erase some of the bad results that have tarnished his reputation towards, you know, the end of his career. So going into the West Ham game, let's go right in. Let's talk about it. Arsenal ended up winning the game 4-1, and I was really, really excited about this game. Watched it from start to finish. We kind of started off the scoring pretty late in the 50th minute. The first half was kind of dull. I was like, what's kind of happening here? I thought we were going to have full force for the win to get Wenger, you know, that positive result. But we really came out strong in the second half. Wenger must have had a great, you know, halftime speech, fired at the players. So anyways, 50th minute, Xhaka takes a beautiful curling corner from the left side. Monreal, not necessarily known for his striking ability as a left back, has a beautiful first-time volley from the right side of goal, hitting it hard and low to the left corner, something you would have expected maybe from Robin Van Persie back in the day. Yet our left back was hitting it into the corner, super stoked, and definitely made up for his terrible game, you know, the week prior against Newcastle. Excuse me. After that, I mean, it really, I thought it was going to be rolling, but there was a little bit of a bump in the road in the 64th minute, 14 minutes after we scored. There was a ball played in, and it was a poor clearance by Mustafi, and then another poor clearance by Jack Wilshere. The ball's kind of, what I like to call it, bouncing around, kind of ping-ponging its way in the box, and all of a sudden, Natovic just smashes in the lefty volley. A beautiful sniper, if I may say so myself, and honestly, probably one of the goals of the season for the nice Austrian forward. So it's 1-1, 64th minute, and I didn't really know what to think about the game. I'm like, what's going to happen here? We're not necessarily known for our mental strength and ability to bounce back from adversity, but that's exactly what happened, and I was really, really excited for that. In the 80th minute, Welbeck, coming off a couple really great results, cuts inside and curls the heck out of the ball, right on a fingertip save from Joe Hart, who hits it off to the post for a corner. We then hit the corner, Xhaka overhits the corner, Ramsey recovers the ball and kind of makes something out of nothing. He whips in a cross that both of the defenders missed and our striker missed. And because no one got a touch on the ball, it really ruined the trajectory for what Joe Hart thought was going to happen. It just bounced sweetly into the net, into the side netting. Ramsey scores 2-1, 82nd minute. And honestly, this was kind of like a fairy tale goal for Ramsey and for Wenger. Ramsey's a player who's constantly battling injuries, but he was given his pro debut by Wenger, I would say about 8 years ago. And, you know, since then, he's been absolute world-class beater, but he's really fought through injuries. He's had many moments in his career where people thought he wasn't good enough for Arsenal anymore, then he would prove them wrong, and then he would come back again and have, you know, a bad half season. And I didn't really know what to think about Aaron Ramsey. Going into this year, I really thought it might be time to move on, but he's had a spectacular year. Completely reinvigorated his career at Arsenal. And it was kind of meant to be, I think, that Ramsey scored the goal for the go-ahead on the eve of Wenger saying that he was retiring, because Wenger put so much faith in him. And I think it really showed that the faith was necessary, and I think he paid him back for his faith. So nice little sweet moment between Ramsey and, you know, the boss himself. Wenger. Fast forward 3 minutes later, we decide to just hammer them in, pun intended, West Ham hammers, and Danny Welbeck has a beautiful first-time pass to Aubameyang, who takes a neat touch and tees it off for Lacazette, who cuts by his defender nicely and slots it in at the front post for the 3-1 goal. What I really like about this goal is all three forwards were connecting. It went from Welbeck to Aubameyang to Lacazette, and you don't see that a lot. Strikers are very selfish, but you love to see that your strikers have a neat partnership together. They're willing to work together and ultimately benefit the team, not just the individual, especially as a forward is a very individualistic mindset, I would say. So really happy for Lacazette. He got his second goal in two games. Was really looking on form. And if you fast forward five more minutes past that to the 89th minute, Lacazette was among the goals again. Ramsey had a beautiful hard low ball to Lacazette, who turned his defender and made him look absolutely silly out there. And Lacazette just powers it into the back of the net, smashes it in, gives his nice little flexing celebration. It's his third goal in, you know, two games. And it's honestly really, really great to see that Lacazette is coming back from the injury. Like I said earlier in the podcast, you never know how someone's going to come back from injury, especially when prior to the injury they weren't necessarily on form. Bring in Aubameyang, a world-class forward, I think it really turned the heat on in the kitchen. And you know what they say, if it's too hot in the kitchen, you can get out of there. But Lacazette really decided to stay in there, work his tail off, and he's really amongst the goals, and he's showing why people think he's a world-class forward and why we were willing to spend so much money on him in the summer. He's absolutely killing it for his 15th goal in the Premier League, and I couldn't be happier, especially on the eve of, or right after Wenger saying that he was going to retire, to get a comfortable 4-1 win, especially since we just lost 2-1 to Newcastle. I didn't really know we were going to recover. We had a game coming up after this in Atletico, which is a very tough semifinal, and something I'm scared of. And so to really get the 4-1 win, keep momentum rolling, get a nice result, and just say, you know what, Wenger, we're going to fight for you to the very end. I think that's something that's really special, and I really just can't wait to see the semifinal game midweek versus Atletico Madrid. So please tune in next Thursday. Next Thursday, what is the date on the next Thursday? I believe it's the 26th next Thursday for the Atletico Madrid game, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. I hope these are getting better and better and that you guys are enjoying it. I love my fellow Gunners, and let's go, Gooner for life. Oh, what am I saying? I haven't even talked about Goal of the Week or Gooner of the Week. I am so, so sorry. So Gooner of the Week, once again, it's someone who, you know, I think clearly shows the Gunner pride, fighting for the team rather than the individual. And I think for this, I'm going to give it to Aubameyang. Aubameyang is absolutely a world-class striker. He has 7 goals in 6 games. But in the past 2 games, he's gotten 3 assists. And that's something he's not necessarily known for. But something that was great about these assists where he had the opportunity to shoot each time, but he passed it to Lacazette, someone who I think needed the goals for the confidence a little bit more than Aubameyang did. And to have that selflessness as a striker is something you don't always see. So I was really excited to see that selflessness. Aubameyang is absolutely world-class. He's, since coming into the Premier League in January, he's taken it by storm. And I'm really, really excited for that. In terms of goal of the week, This is a tough one. I don't really know. I think there's a lot of really, really good goals, and I think it depends on the context. Some of the goals were nicely hit than others, but some goals I think meant a lot more. And in this emotional week where Wenger has retired, I think I'm gonna go with the context of what was really meant a lot. Not necessarily the sweetest goal, but what meant a lot. And for that, I'm gonna go to Ramsey's miss hit. Although it was kind of a blunder from the keeper, he missed the trajectory on the cross that ended up going to the back of the net. For Ramsey to score the go-ahead goal in this game right after Wenger said he was going to retire from Arsenal, I think was huge. Not just for Ramsey, but for Wenger and the whole club of Arsenal. It showed why we not only kept faith in Ramsey, but faith in Wenger. It was very metaphorical. And it was really an emotional goal, I think, for them and also for all the fans. So that's definitely my goal of the week. Aubameyang is my Gooner of the week. On that note, please tune in next week after the Atletico game on the 26th. Really excited that we have all the momentum going in. Let's go, Gunners.